Hello and welcome to the Qubit Guy podcast, brought to you by Classic, the quantum algorithm design company. My name is Yuval, and my guest today is Christoph Jorzik, founder and partner at Quantonation, a quantum-focused venture capital firm. We spoke about his investment strategy, what he sees from his position as a board member, vertical integration, and much more. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please let us know how we did by emailing hello@classic.io. That's hello@classic.io. Hello, Christoph, and thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Yuval. Good to be on board. Thanks for having me in your podcast. Thanks.
So who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Christoph Jorzik. I'm a partner at Quantonation, which is a fund dedicated to quantum technologies and deep physics, which I started a few years ago with my partners, Charles and Olivier in France. Now I'm based in the US mostly, but we have made a big number of investments. I think we're the largest investor in number of participation in quantum space with 15 lines so far. We made 17 investments to exit, so we're having 15 companies in the portfolio investing as we speak, a couple of deals to come over the next weeks and proceeding with the quantum revolution.
How large is the fund?
So it's a bit tricky to answer because I will tell you a little bit about the story, how we came to be. And I think that's interesting also because that's a direct consequence of a dynamic of a sector. So and maybe a few words about myself also to explain the origin of the origination of Quantonation. So I'm a physicist by training, which is relatively rare in venture capital. I did a PhD in quantum physics with Alain Aspé, in 1996, that's a while ago, neutral atoms technology, even a postdoc, but then did my career mostly in the energy sector, renewable energy. And back in 2015, while I was living in Palo Alto, I decided to come back to the sector, quantum tech. That's when more or less IonQ, Rigetti were founded. Things started to happen. I think quantum computing, when I was thinking about that in 95, 96, but that was really science fiction. But then it was extraordinary to see things evolving at that speed. So I came back to the sector. Took me a couple of years to figure out exactly how, but then we started Quantonation with Charles and Olivier and Jean-Gabriel in Paris in 2018. And we did it not, let's say, just on one time. I think the sector was relatively mature for early stage investment. So it took us a little bit of time. We structured it in two phases. First, we did some investment from a vehicle, and then we converted into a fund, strictly speaking, GP, LP structure, traditional venture capital. So the fund, Quantonation One, which is the fund we're talking about, has been launched early last year, first closing. We put into the fund all the assets we had already invested in. That's why we have 15 investments already in the portfolio. And then if all goes according to the plan, this month in March, we should do our final closing for the fund. We should be around 80 million euros, which is rather substantial for an early stage fund since we're really investing in the first phases of the life of the company. So just at incorporation, 1 or 2 years after, so what people call pre-seed and seed, and then we do some follow-on investments. 80 million for the fund, and that's where we are. So I hope we'll share the good news within a couple of weeks, either in March or April, but we seem to be on track to reach this number way past our original target, which was 50 million euro. So things have been good over the last months, lots of progress, lots of very nice results from the portfolio companies.
And what's the investment thesis? Is it anything quantum? Is it software, hardware, applications, quantum sensing, quantum communications, quantum computers?
It's physics first. So I call that deep physics. Maybe it's a weird term to many people, but let's say it's quantum, essentially quantum technologies for its various applications, whether computing, sensing, communication, and also some things that are quite like it, but let's say not necessarily quantum 2.0 with entanglement, superposition. For example, we have invested in photonic chips, which I put in this category. We're looking at this moment at new materials for long wave infrared sensing, which is very exciting. Not strictly speaking, your quantum 2.0, as people say now, technology, but there's some consistency because that's the same markets, same kind of applications, same dynamics. But by and large, at the end of the day, it's essentially mostly quantum plus some of these deep physics things. And the applications are the three ones I've mentioned, broad categories, sensing, communication, computing. We do hardware and software. Quite heavy on hardware, I must say, but lately we have been also investing more and more into software, and there's a good balance in the portfolio, in my view, and that's what's really important, I think, this kind of initiative, is have a balanced portfolio between things that are relatively short-term, like quantum sensing, with true markets, application, revenues, and customers, real product development, and things that are a little bit more speculative, and it's mostly on the quantum computing side for some technologies or some applications. So we have a good range of technologies, I think, different dynamics, and we have quantum for now with sensing, things happening right now, and markets and technologies being deployed over the next couple of years for the other applications.
And from a geography focus, do you see quantum happening in one particular continent? Are your investments centered primarily in France or Europe? How does that work?
We are global, and that's very important to have the capacity to make the investment decision really based on the technology, on the team, on the value of the startup we're investing in. But naturally, we have also many connections in France and in Europe. So we have quite a lot of projects from France, from EU, from the UK. We have invested in Canada, several companies in the US. Not yet in Israel. That's something we've been looking at, but that definitely could be a possibility. Southeast Asia as well. We've looked at a couple of projects. So yeah, it's important to invest globally. Of course, there are different dynamics, different ecosystems. For this kind of sector, non-dilutive grants, what we call the money that's not the equity, but the grants that the government essentially is giving to the companies. That's really important for the company to be well positioned. So in general, I must say, if there's no such plan, I think there's a few chances that we see an ecosystem thrive and companies coming out of the country. When there's a well-structured plan, as is the case in the UK, in Quebec, in Canada, in the US, in France, Italy, a little bit. We have some projects in Spain, Switzerland, and Germany, of course. There we see a good and healthy pipeline of projects.
I think the two of your companies have recently merged, right? Pascal and Q&Co. And so the result of that merger is essentially a full stack company, right? From hardware all the way to the applications. Maybe it's an obvious question, but do you think it's a good idea to create these full stack companies as opposed to allowing customers to choose best of breed hardware, software components, make sure the hardware can run any software, make sure the software can run on any hardware, and so on?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea, obviously. We really were interested in sponsoring this initiative. I think it's there's a very good report by BCG about hardware and software, how things play there. And I think it's a question of time, in a sense. I think as of today, especially in the phase where we are, where we don't have error correction, we don't have universal fault-tolerant quantum computers, I think it's quite clear there's a very strong connection between the hardware and software and the applications and the development. So there has to be strong connections between these different actors in the stack. I think in the long term, more, let's say, hardware agnostic approaches definitely will make sense in my view. But for now, I think there needs to be such a connection. So one way to establish these connections and to make this efficient is for hardware companies to develop some software applications themselves, so directly, and Pascal was already doing that, and then to accelerate going to M&A and acquisitions, and that has happened, that will happen. Rigetti had done that also a few years ago with QX Branch. That was the first operation in the sector. I think the next big things will happen again. There's also obviously the Honeywell Cambridge Quantum Computing merger, which is also in this category. But by far, that doesn't mean that that's the only model. I think
company like Pascal and others and Honeywell. I mean, their platform is available for partners to develop applications on it. I mean, but one thing for sure, I think, is that there needs to be a strong connection. So how it is built, I mean, that's open. And there are different mechanisms, strong partnerships, access, privileged access to the platform. Access to the hardware will be a key challenge over the next years. There are not that many machines that are available. There will not be that many. And I see that, that it will be an issue. People tend to underestimate. As soon as we reach quantum advantage, of course, people will want to use these machines. So the connection with the hardware will be super important. But yeah, full stack is one option, which is, I think, has a lot of value in the current stage. Doesn't mean it's exclusive. And I think there's a lot of value in the collaboration with specialized software developer, people who are developing platforms as well as Classic, obviously, other players in this space. I'd be very open. And I think it's way too early to have to decide about how the stack looks like, how the different actors will position themselves. I think it's open. It will be open for quite a time, I think.
You have a great seat to see the industry progressing, because I'm guessing that you personally or your partners sit on a lot of quantum computing boards. In a way, you see not just the marketing story, but also how the sausage is made. And so what are you hearing from, or what are your companies hearing from end customers? Is the view of the enterprise company changed over the last year or two? Do you think that people are more open, less open? What is the sense that you're getting about the direction of the enterprise market?
I think so. I've been in this and for a while now. Before starting Quantonation, I've worked a bit also with QCware in the US. Matt Johnson and the team there, really very interesting work. So we were trying back in 2016, 17 to work on applications and softwares. And I've seen the situation change, evolve drastically over the years. I think there's a I see industry now moving really into the direction of not only, let's say, exploring with proof of concepts and trying things, but really seriously putting quantum into their roadmap. Whether it's for a product next year or in 5 years, I mean, obviously we're not there yet. There's still things need to happen so that we reach this quantum advantage we all hope is on the horizon. But I see industry taking these technologies much more seriously and starting to integrate or put quantum computing, QPUs, into their workflows. That's true in particular in finance, I must say. So there's a company, a customer from Pascal and Multiverse, which are two portfolio companies. It's called Crédit Agricole Corporate Investment Banking. They published a press release last year, and I've been working, and since I'm in the board of Pascal, I follow things a little bit there. Not to go into too many details, but I think they did really an outstanding job putting resources from the company into the dialogue with the software and the hardware vendors. And that was pretty spectacular, the level of engagement, seriousness, the profiles they put into these kind of conversations. I think that's something we did not necessarily have 5-6 years ago. And I think now people take this much more seriously, authentically want to put that into their roadmap. The number of customers and companies to bring in, I think that's increasing, but we need more initiatives, such as, for example, hackathons. And I want to mention one that we did with an association I co-founded in France. It's called Quantix, alumni of École Polytechnique, and I did that with Elvira Chichenena. She's working BMW, and Alex Krajenbring from Cambridge Quantum Computing, and essentially working on hackathons of a new kind, technical hackathon, relatively standard, let's say, with vendors. There was the first one who did 10 vendors, different technologies, bringing use case, super interesting. But then a phase also working on the business and the business case on how to turn what had been developed into a useful product, how to
to interface also and to interact with the companies and the end users. That was super interesting. This kind of initiative, building bridges between end users and tech developers, I think we need more of that. Not only the companies developing the technologies themselves, but also ecosystem-wide initiatives with not-for-profits. So Quantix, Unitary Fund, I am a board member of Unitary Fund as well, doing exceptional things in open source space and hackathons as well. Also Xanadu is doing great hackathons, I think super helpful. These initiatives that create some connections within the ecosystem between the different parties are still very important at this stage. And I've seen that happening over the last couple of years. I think it makes a huge difference. It helps bring new customers to the table, new companies that you were not thinking about when we started working in quantum computing and application. So yeah, I think the space is growing. We see more customers, also more business units in these companies and professionals really getting involved, not only the R&D people, but also the business people. And that's super important.
Let's talk a little bit about the national level. What would you like to see governments do to help move quantum along? And what do you think about sort of the nationalistic, I need a quantum computer because I might not be able to use your quantum computer if there's a conflict or something like that, sort of the quantum's arms race?
I think it's for investors, obviously, that's not, we want less friction. I mean, we want as many connections as possible, capacity for these companies to do business wherever they want. And that obviously is there's some nationalism, I hear you about that. And what we try to do is building connections and keeping lines open between ecosystems. And one way to do it, I think, is working on the very concrete initiatives at ecosystem level, not necessarily national level, but also regional ecosystem. Thinking, for example, a few great ecosystems in Europe, like Munich, Munich Quantum Valley, there's Paris Center and Saclay as well, there's Delft in the Netherlands, a very strong ecosystem, and in Canada, Sherbrooke, very close to the ecosystem there, they're doing really exceptional things. I think between building connections between these ecosystems, not only the governments, but also the companies, the universities, the users that interact at this level, I think is one way to go. I'm seeing also in Europe, for example, these initiatives in the HPC space, connecting different countries with Euro HPC. That's also a very good idea, but we can extend that also not only to Europe, but to countries outside of Europe, obviously. We need that to happen. I think quantum, we have so many things to do in order to improve the quality of the processors, in order to get to long-term fault-tolerant quantum computing that we all dream of. I think it's not over by far. It would be really damaging for everybody if borders were closed now from this perspective. I mean, quantum is coming from labs, essentially. I mean, from academic collaborations, which have been there forever, and researchers have been quite free to interact and develop together projects. So we must pursue and have the possibility to build these connections and this collaboration. I think it's super important. It's way too early to close doors. I think these we are not at the stage where these machines represent a threat just right now for implementing Shor's algorithm, for example. We know it will take some more time. So we should be careful and not let people think that it's a weapon as of today already, and it's there. Of course, there's a threat, but longer term, and there are ways to protect against that. But that's one part of the story. Everybody, I think the startups, the communities, I mean, the governments must be careful not to overdo it also in terms of assessment of the maturity of this technology. We're still very early. We need collaboration within countries, between continents. That's absolutely necessary.
Do you have any concern that a quantum winter is coming?
I don't know exactly what that means, but if I'm looking first at quantum with respect also to other technologies that have an impact, like blockchain, AI, etc., I think I hear sometimes people tell me, okay, there's, I mean, too much money in quantum. I mean, what does that mean when you compare also to other technology or autonomous driving? I mean, given the impact in the long term that quantum will have, which is huge and which starts to be well assessed now, I think definitely we're not putting enough money in quantum, in my view, in order for us to reach this level. So quite the contrary, we need more. One thing we must be careful about is manage expectations, I think. And sometimes I see let's say statements that are a little bit too aggressive in my view about reaching this and that given application being implemented in quantum computer within a time where quite frankly I don't think it makes sense. I think that's a difficulty, a challenge. It's difficult to assess, it still is, the horizon for application of quantum. I think that's what we do with Quantonation. I think we do it well. And as I said, we have a portfolio of companies. We are able to assess the different levels of maturity. We invest in some technologies that are very early stage, some that are a little bit more mature. My view, quantum, it's a journey. We'll have applications that will be implemented very early, and I think maybe even as soon as this year or next year. And I really think seriously that we will have quantum computer implemented in workflow at this stage. Not for dramatic applications, let's say. It will be part of a workflow. It will have an impact. Maybe it's sampling, for example, which is something that's very useful for many applications. Long term, we'll do extraordinary things, but the important is to assess the dynamics and to understand the journey. It's not going to happen all at once. We will have more and more applications. And I think the BCG report that was published, I think it was last year, was very good. It's explaining that we will unlock different pools of applications. I think that's definitely it. That's important. So we must be careful not to overpromise. That could have negative impacts, but overall, I think we need more money. We need more investors, more investments in early stage, in late stage, and I'm quite optimistic about the fact that we will have enough applications demonstrated over the next year, so that this will go on and will be consistent. When I started in 2018, 2017, 18, making these investments, that was much more difficult because there was not much to show at the time. Really, we were talking a lot about the science, which is great, obviously, but it's not easy to convince investors based on that. 2 years later, in 2020, 2021, we had proof of concept projects. We had some real hardware devices, things to show and customers. And I think the journey has been extraordinary, very fast as well, true. But I see continuous progress. Must be careful about assessing properly the maturity of this technology, but the hype. But if we keep that collectively under control, I don't think there will be a backlash or anything like that that quantum winter might represent, well, at least the terminology as I understand it. So we must be careful. That's a large part a responsibility of the quantum community, but I'm quite optimistic.
So as we get close to the end of our conversation today, let me put you in a position where you are master of the universe, or at least master of the quantum universe. What would you like companies to do in the next 2 years, both your portfolio companies as well as broader companies in the ecosystem? What would you like us to be focused on?
Well, the next couple of years. I think the quantum education. I think we still miss, and I think I think the industry is doing well. It's progressing really well in the hardware, etc. But it takes time, and things will happen, etc. I think we're still missing attention to the ecosystem as such, as a whole. And I think I see some governments and some plans, you know, where people will put money into quantum technologies. That's great. With taxpayers' money getting into these technologies, these companies. But they tend to neglect all the other aspects, which are the glue that would help all these things being consistent. So I'd like very much that there are more ecosystem level activities, regional, national, and global, more connections between countries there. more funds as well, more investors. I think we need, as I said, more money, and it's good to be here and to be the first. But we welcome, obviously, other investors, other people to invest into quantum technologies. That's very important. But I think the community as such needs to structure itself and to grow. And that's very important. That's the way we will have more projects also, more companies. The deal flow for us as an investor is super important. We need more. We need an acceleration there. And the number of companies that's created every year that gets into the ecosystem. And that's going to happen because we have a strong ecosystem. So working at the same time at building these great companies, but also don't neglect ecosystem level activities for not-for-profits, for money that has to go there as well. And that, in my view, is very important. If we don't do it, we risk really not to be in a position to grow at a pace that we should have. I think sky is the limit there. I think we have a bright future ahead of us, but we need to have these activities.
Christoph, how can people get in touch with you, and what kind of investments are you looking for?
Easy to get in touch with me. I mean, I've got my email on the website, and it's christoph@quantonation.com. We're looking at and we like one thing we like to do a lot. I think it's talking also to people and who are structuring or thinking about projects even before they incorporate. That's early investment. That's a lot of work for us, obviously, but that's part of the job. And I think that's very important because there are things to do, things not to do as well. There are, after 15 investments and growing, we have learned some lessons. So we'd like to share that as well. So I'm really open to have conversations with people on early stage projects, even if it's not very mature. We're interested in, as I said, various geographies, North America, Europe, Southeast Asia, projects there, hardware, software. Yeah, I mean, the thesis is on the website, I'd say. We will go on. We will not change. I think very happy about where we are and what we have learned and done. Look at the companies we've invested in that might give you some ideas, and we look for new projects all the time. I think exciting founders, teams, exciting science, really open to have these conversations early on.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Yuval.